superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
You guys think you're going to compete for national championships, and you're not.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're outplayed, outpaired, outcoached.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And I'm not going to come on here and demand a change. Who is Michigan bringing in?
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. New Orleans Saints safety Malcolm Jenkins. Tampa Bay Times Bucks writer Rick Stroud, three-time Super Bowl champion executive Scott Pioli, plus Washington football team head coach Ron Rivera. And now,
yes,
it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, okay. That's the way to start an election day, TJ Jefferson. Dead solid. Perfect. I want two more of those. And I want everybody to go out and vote if you haven't voted already. After the three-hour edition of the Rich Eisen Show, I mean, let's put priorities first. Good go point. Vote! Go vote! Please, if you have not voted, the lines are absurdly long. Our democracy is as strong as ever. We are a great nation, and we are going to vote, and we are going to tell everybody what we feel through our vote. I am fired up. I am not just over-caffeinated and overtired. I'm bursting with democratic and democracy feelings. I really am. Election day has arrived, and please go vote. Everybody's vote counts. Everybody's vote matters. Does not matter who you are voting for. It is just a great thing to show the rest of the world. This is how we roll. This is how we roll. And so I'm excited about it. Good to see you, Chris Brockman,
hey,
over there. How are
What's
you?
What's happening, man?
Good to see you, man. Good to see you. Mike Del Tufo is off. Jason Feller sitting in for him. How are you, brother? Good to see you over there.
Good. How are you?
I am pleased to see you right here. So we're sort of showing our Peacock audience, a little bit of the folks who have been part of the Rich Eisen Show for many, many years. Good to see you, brother.
Thank you.
TJ Jefferson settling into his chair.
Kaboom.
Good to see you.
In the room.
I got to tell you, everybody's eyes are focused on Pennsylvania today in the election, and you have represented Pennsylvania. By nailing that putt.
I'm trying to represent PA.
Altoona's finest. Altoona's finest. Good to see you over there. All right. I'm also excited about our guest list today.
We have a great guest
list because today is trade deadline day in the NFL, and we just saw week eight just finish up. And we've got a lot to talk about, not just about week eight, but week nine is right around the corner. And on NBC is the week nine game. It's very rare that you start talking about a week nine game on a Sunday, let alone a Sunday night when it's the Tuesday after one of the teams just finished up playing. And we will talk about the Buccaneers, but it's Bucs versus Saints. And so much is on the line there in the NFC South. And, of course, the NFC writ large is a one seed is up for grabs with Seattle and the Saints and the Bucs, Packers rolling on this front as well. And so Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times will be joining us on this program, fresh back from MetLife, because looking over the steering wheel, Antonio Brown's going to show up on Sunday Night Football. He's back in the NFL, and he'll be with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday night. And the guy who's going to maybe have to guard him, check him out, is our first guest joining us in 17 minutes time, who is also as locked in on community relations, as locked in on social justice as anybody else, a perfect election day guest in Malcolm Jenkins. Another thing to talk to Malcolm Jenkins about is, are we going to see Michael Thomas back? Now, obviously, he's not a doctor. He doesn't play one on TV. But in terms of Michael Thomas and what's up with him, one would have to say, if you're looking for a team leader that can go up to this young man and talk about what's going on in his head and get him straightened out, as it appeared to be about a month ago, it would also have to be an OSU OG, correct?
Absolutely.
So to go up to him and basically say, hey, you know, Mike,
what's to do?
I know I'm new to this team, but
let's go.
I know I'm new to this team, but I also have won a Super Bowl for this team.
Clean it up.
You know, 11 years ago. So that's an interesting chat with him. In terms of trade deadline, longtime general manager in this league, Scott Pioli, will join us. And a day after, Bill Belichick went on local radio in Boston to say that the team sold out to win out championships the last 5 years, and now
it works
in a way. Well, he's reaping the whirlwind cap-wise, and a lot of people are saying that the GOAT, the hoodie, friend of this program, friend of mine, Bill Belichick, is dodging responsibility of the 2-5 record.
That's everyone, part everyone of the who's question. Saying that is just jealous. It's just jealousy.
Well, it's something to talk about on this program. And then Ron Rivera, the Washington football team head coach, fresh off of his last session of chemotherapy, fresh off his bye, he will be joining, fresh off a win over the Dallas Cowboys. He will join us. His next game is against the Giants, who we saw last night. And you at 844-204-RICH. Let's talk about the Monday Nighter.
What a game. Wow.
Well, you know, this Giants team, it's one of those, you know, the record does not indicate the level of want to and can do. They're not good enough to make mistakes at the end or have a quarterback who makes mistakes and gives another team extra possessions. They're not that good enough to overcome that. They kind of are one of those teams that has to play a damn near perfect game in order to win, but they are also improving. They're one of those teams that you kind of don't want to see. And last night, the Buccaneers came in, marched down the field, but the Giants defense bent, didn't break, settled for three. Bucs get the ball back. Ronald Jones fumbles it for the first time in well over 100 touches because Blake Martinez, one of those guys that the Giants have, and Packers fans know him very well, makes a play, and Giants cash in on it on a beautiful throw from Daniel Jones. You even tweeted out in all caps, Danny Dimes.
Danny Dimes, Rich. Danny Dimes.
Because he dropped one right at the Deion Lewis.
Beautiful pass.
Touchdown. Giants go up. And the Bucs look, again, out of sync. Offensively, in a manner that we did not see from the October Offensive Player of the Month and Tom Brady. And Daniel Jones and the Giants put up another touchdown. 14-3. I immediately am texting Michael Irvin because his lock of the week is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over the Giants. And the reason why he did not choose his lock of the week, the Kansas City Chiefs against the Jets, is because my season preview prediction of lock of the year was that Michael Irvin would choose against a winless team for the first 8 weeks of the season. And the producers knew that and gave Michael the heads up that if you choose the Chiefs against the Jets, Rich will be right. So he chose the Bucks against the Giants.
Wow.
Just another one of those in-your-face, uncorked moments from the game day morning producing staff to keep me on my toes, I guess. I text him. I'm like, doesn't look very good. But the Bucs are the Bucs this year. They have Tom Brady. They've got Mike Evans. And they got Gronk. And I saw that a few weeks ago. You got to give me a little bit of credit, Christopher.
About Gronk heating up?
Yes. You were like, I don't see it. And I'm like, I see it.
I mean,
Gronk was heating up.
Let's pump the brakes a little bit. He had, three catches yesterday for 20 yards?
Except one big one for a first down and one for a touchdown. 4 for 41. Touchdown. Touchdown.
Easy.
What do you mean easy? What do you mean easy? He's Gronk, man. He's still making plays. What? I know you don't want to admit the fact that Brady and Gronk are hooking up together and that Brady's got 18 touchdowns and four interceptions.
Gronk isn't the greatest tight end in the league right now.
Like, no, he's not.
He's not, but what you think is going to happen.
But he is a difference maker when he need be, and Brady's finding him. That's what's happening. I know you don't agree. Clearly,
look, you're muttering under your breath. The Bucs are going to win the Super Bowl, and I'm going to be happy for him.
Nice, well done. And the Giants still had a shot to win this game. And what we would be talking about today, if the Giants had in fact tied it up, had in fact gone into overtime, and had in fact won, is that our friend No Risk It, No Biscuit, Bruce Arians, decided to not let the all-time GOAT in quarterback sneaking sneak the ball for 1/2 inch that appeared that was all that was required with mere minutes to go on the fourth quarter and instead kick the field goal and say, my defense will prevent Daniel Jones from marching down the field and getting a 2-point conversion. We would be talking about that. I was stunned that they did not allow Tom Brady to just sneak it because he is the all-time king of that. And then that game would be over. End of story. The Giants wouldn't have even gotten the ball back. And you could kind of see the shot of Brady learning that we're going to go kick a field goal. I mean, he didn't let it all out on his sleeve, but you could see he wasn't at all very pleased about it. And then Daniel Jones throwing off his back foot, making fourth down conversions.
That
and
play was,
I mean, my God.
So nuts.
And part of the thing was I did need a pick six from the Bucs defense to win my fantasy. And a couple times it looked like we were gonna he was putting them up to make it happen. And then that throw. That throw to the end zone to Golden Tate was spectacular, which is why the Giants are still believing in Daniel Jones. His first and last touchdown throw of the night were perfectly thrown footballs by Daniel Jones.
Yeah, no doubt.
They were dimes dropped by Danny.
No doubt about it.
But
great catch, by the way, and toe tap by Golden Tate.
It was great. Super. Both ends, man. But the maddening part about Daniel Jones, when he does, as Brian Griese point out in the broadcast last night, he makes the same mistakes. After making that beautiful throw, he's late on the throw, on the 2-point conversion, and does not put the ball. If it was on time and at the pylon, we're not talking about the controversial call, then pickup of flag of pass interference on Antoine Winfield. He did arrive early. I mean, you can parse it when you're looking at replay, which last year we would have been able to do. Mm-hmm. This year is not anymore. If last year's rules were in place, they probably still would have let it stand because they never overturned anything. But you could freeze it with Winfield arriving and the ball has not yet been knocked down.
Both things can be true. Daniel Jones did throw it late.
He did.
And Winfield arrived early. Both can be true.
I will be consistent here. You must play better than the refs ref.
And that's also true.
It is one of my favorite lines in the 20 years almost that I have been covering the NFL with the NFL Network. Rod Woodson, Pro Football Hall of Famer, said Chuck Knoll would always tell the Steelers, play better than the ref's ref. We are not going to use officiating as an excuse around here. If we play well enough, a bad officiating call will not affect us. If Daniel Jones throws that ball on time and to the pylon where it is supposed to go, the Giants tie that game up. We're in overtime. Anything can happen. Coin flip, as we know. Anything can happen. And then we are talking about why did Arians not let the greatest quarterback sneaker of all time sneak the ball to keep the ball in Tampa's hands and move things forward. But instead, it's a win for the Bucs. And this was Joe Judge after the game last night talking about the official's decision to pick the football up. Hold on a second. We're about to get that. This was Joe Judge last night trying to rectify in his mind without getting fined. It was actually quite a good tap dance here. Here was Joe Judge last night.
Yeah, I thought Nate made the right call when he threw the flag. So I'm not sure why it got picked up. We had a pretty good view. I know they can't use a Jumbotron for replay. We had a pretty clear view of that as well. But I thought Nate made the right call the first time. I thought, you know, normally your first instinct is the right one.
Yeah, I would agree with Joe Judge. I would agree with him. The pool reporter speaking to Brad Rogers, the referee last night. Did you hear this, Chris?
I did not.
All right, this is what Rogers said. The side judge had the flag thrown in the play and came down to the judge who was on that side of the goal line. The communication between the side judge and the down judge was that the defender contacted the receiver simultaneously as the ball came in. Can make that determination too, I guess. And in order to have defensive pass interference, it has to be clearly early and hinder the receiver's ability to make the catch. With you picking up a flag like that, is there a higher standard to reach, was the question. Good follow-up. The official then said, you want to make sure that it meets the qualifications for pass interference, and in our communication on the field, the down judge and the side judge communicated about the action and believed that it was appropriate to pick that flag up. It sure looked like pass interference. He sure looked like he arrived before the ball did. But in a bang-bang moment, one official said yes, the other said no, and then they discussed it, and they're like, okay, I'll pick the flag up, put it in my pocket, and the Bucks get the win on the spot. They could have easily won in overtime. Juan, I just want to say this, though. To Giants fans out there, I know it stinks. They have started 1-7, 3 out of the last 4 years. I mean, growing up in New York City, you know, I do remember the dreadful mid-70s Giants leading into the Ray Perkins-coached Giants, which led into the Bill Parcells-coached Phil Sims quarterback Giants, and then the rest, as we know, is history, leading to the awfulness of Ray Handley before Fossil arrived. And,
Ray Handley?
Oh, yeah, man.
I haven't heard that.
Oh, my gosh. Terrible. Terrible. And then Fossil came in, Coughlin came in, two championships, and now the Coughlin into the Shermer, now into the Judge, makes, I'm sure, Giants fans feel low and lower than ever. They're not used to this. They're not used to this. I will tell you this. I believe you've got the right coach. I like him, man. I like him.
Me too.
I think these guys are playing their asses off for him. They're playing tough football. They're not getting the wins. They're not good enough to play mistake-filled football and win. But compared to my Jets, who have no wins, and you're wondering if the quarterback's the right guy too, good guy just like Daniel Jones, talented guy just like Daniel Jones, you may be sitting here, as Daniel Jones the quarterback or not. I think he's shown that he can be and be really talented. Again, he was born into the New York City football zeitgeist in a manner that shocked a lot of people, caused a lot of smart football evaluators to rip the pick. Joel Klatt, appearing on the Rich Eisen show the next day in Nashville, Tennessee, said it was one of the, this was a draft that would set the Giants back.
Yeah, he was knocked
out. He was one of them. Also doesn't help that he was, in fact, chosen with the 6th overall pick, so he was, in fact, pick 6 of that draft. Doesn't help. He goes to, from Duke, that is, you know,
not exactly.
Again, in New York City. In New York City, you want to talk about hoops? Great, you can play for the Knicks, as they are hopeful about their young star there right now.
RJ.
You want to play football from Duke? I don't know about that. So, yeah, Jets also are wondering about their quarterback and evaluating him, although they love him. And the Giants are evaluating their quarterback. They love him. It was actually even brought up to Joe Judge last night. Are you thinking of sitting down Daniel Jones when he makes these mistakes? He was like, no, he's our quarterback, period. Yeah. They love him. General manager may change there. We'll see what happens if they do start circling around the Trevor Lawrence orbit. But I'll tell you this, in terms of the want to, in terms of the playing their asses off, in terms of some of these talented players getting better each week, as Evan Engram was playing better this week, compared to the Jets, these Giants are the 2007 Patriots. So I'll say that to the Giants fans who are sitting there at 1-7 and wondering, I can't believe this is happening again. So that's my take on Monday Night Football. Next up for the Bucks, the Saints. Next up for the Bucks as well is the Antonio Brown era, if you want to call it that, and somebody who will be lined up potentially to mark him on Sunday Night Football in a huge Week 9 contest that deserves all the hype that it's going to get. Malcolm Jenkins is our first guest. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial for you to dial in. My four downs is coming up as well. My Week 8 observations and you. But Malcolm Jenkins of New Orleans coming up next on this Election Day edition. Hey, everybody. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Back here on NBC Sports on Peacock, we're mere seconds away from our radio audience rejoining us, and then we'll welcome in our first guest of the day. Every day we're on after Dan Patrick. I appeared on Dan Patrick's show today, and Dan had his, I wouldn't say jollies, but he is from the state of Ohio, and you know, I think deep down, he says it's been a while since he's felt this way. I think he does enjoy the exploits of the University of Michigan football team not being as successful as the fan base hopes it to be. So he had me on it. I knew he was going to ask. But he asked me a bunch of NFL questions first. And I just know Dan's style to just try and soften me up before he comes in with a haymaker. Which he did. Which he did. At least I was prepared for it. But at any rate, it's always great to follow Dan on NBC Sports on Peacock. And we'll take you to Brother from Another with Michael Holly and Michael Smith. I believe Mr. Holly is slated to call into our show Thursday.
Oh, how about that?
So get your photographs of all your back-in-the-day photos with him. Okay, that'll be later on this week. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, now one big happy simulcast family. Sunday Night Football is going to be great. I cannot wait for it. Saints versus Bucks, and it's a rematch of the Week 1 contest. Saints won that one. That's the last time we saw Michael Thomas active on a football field. And this man is active not only on football fields, but also in the community. And he's a perfect guest to have here on this election day. And also getting set to take on Tom Brady. Chris Brockman, do you know there's only one human being walking planet Earth who can say, I beat Peyton Manning and Tom Brady in a Super Bowl?
Whew.
It's this man, Malcolm Jenkins, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Malcolm?
I'm doing good, Rich. How you doing?
I am doing better for talking to you. What's on your mind this election day? Let's start with that one. What's on your mind?
Well, the biggest thing, you just want people to participate. You know, hopefully, you know, everybody's done what they needed to do, either to get their absentee ballots in or mail-in votes in, and if not, that they are actively going out today to participate in this huge election, not only just about, you know, the presidential race, but there are a lot of things on the down ballot that affect state and local government, and that has a direct impact on the lives of our everyday citizens. So, Just really, you know, continuing to push that message out there to encourage people, even if they're not excited about the presidential race, that there are so many other important things on that ballot that they have to participate in. Otherwise, somebody's going to make those decisions for you.
Do you think the NFL has done its best? I know there was a conversation about social justice, obviously, throughout the summer, and the NFL has talked about voting quite a bit, but I'm just going to throw that out to you right here. Now that we have hit election day, do you feel that the partnership has been successful?
Well, I think the league has definitely done, and I think, you know, really off of the strength of its players especially, has done a great job of pushing voting, you know, and getting people to be registered, not only just fans, but also even within our own buildings. I know the Saints, you know, did a whole initiative to make sure that every player was registered to vote, whether they were, you know, voting here in New Orleans or they were voting in an absentee ballot. And I think that's been the same league-wide. And I know they've been pushing, you know, things on the field, commercials, just encouraging people to participate. And I think, you know, from that standpoint, the league has done a great job.
Are you anxious today? Much of America is. I'll be honest, I am, Malcolm. Are you anxious today, right now?
Not really. I mean, I know that the results probably won't come back today, so I'm not going to hype myself up,
right?
To hurry to wait. But I think all of us, you know, this is going to be an important election, and there's a lot on the line, and obviously we'll all be paying attention to it.
Malcolm Jenkins of the New Orleans Saints here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I guess let's put a pin in this part of the conversation because I definitely want to circle back about your foundation and everything that you're doing, certainly with Thanksgiving around the corner and trying to feed the hungry in this pandemic with Thanksgiving just a few weeks away, and just talk a little bit of football right here and right now. How would you term the New Orleans Saints season to this point, Malcolm?
Well, I think, you know, we've come into the season with a ton of high expectations. We've got a very, very talented roster and a team that's had a ton of success over the last few seasons. And I think, you know, really had this idea of Super Bowl or bust. But what we've, you know, recognized, and we kind of know going into it, each season has a story of its own. And so we've been really trying to find our identity. We've had to deal with a ton of adversity like every other team, you know, with guys coming in and out of the roster, whether it's COVID, different things going on. But I think we're a team that's ascending. You know, each week I feel like we're improving on all phases of the game. And we're still, you know, getting some of those pieces back. And that's really the goal. So not looking at the end goal, but really just competing. And I think we're doing that. Obviously got a huge opportunity against a divisional opponent that's also playing really, really good football. So, you know, for us, we're excited. We look forward to opportunities to compete, opportunities to measure ourselves around the league. Didn't start how we wanted to, but feel like we're heading in the right direction.
Well, the Bucs are a team that's going to get Antonio Brown on the field, and I wanted to ask you about that in a second. But you have what appears to be a chance to get Michael Thomas back on the field. Do you think he will be out there on Sunday? Not to turn you into a doctor here, but do you think he's going to be out there on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think, you know, everybody, obviously we're a better team when he is, so the sooner we can get him on the field, the better. But we also know we want him, you know, for the long run. So it's not one of those things where we want to rush him back, especially because we've been playing well. But as soon as Michael Thomas touches the field, we are a better team.
And then during his injury stint, there was a conversation that he was going to come back, and then he got suspended by the team, heard after that. If I can linger just on that suspension by the team, the conversation about Michael Thomas, about him maybe being a little bit too much of a red ass, quite frankly, certainly within the walls of your building, I'd imagine you're in a perfect spot to try and counsel him if he's requiring of it, not only because of your experience in the NFL, but you're a fellow Buckeye who can maybe put your arm around him. Is that something that you did or have done, Malcolm?
No, I don't think it's something that's really necessary. He's a guy, you know, who plays with a chip on his shoulder, and it's not just an on-field persona. That's who he is, right? And that's what we love about him. That's what makes him Michael Thomas. So, you know, you can't have one without the other. It's just, you know, he has to understand when and where, you know, to let those things out and make sure that the team is always first. And I think we moved past that point a long time ago. But,
okay.
You know, it is what it is.
Malcolm Jenkins here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about Antonio Brown. What do you expect from him, of him, in his first game back?
I mean, you know, nobody knows. It's been a while since you've seen him on tape. You know, you don't know exactly what the plan is for the Bucs, how they're going to use him. But I mean, when you look at the roster and you see, you know, Gronk, Mike Evans, now Antonio Brown, Godwin, you know, they got, you know, an all-star, you know, roster. So for us, we look forward to the opportunity to be able to compete. You know, every matchup is going to be at a premium this week. They all present their own kind of unique skill set. And that's good for us because we've got a diverse group of skill sets. But it's definitely going to be a challenge and something that we'll be preparing all week for.
What is the challenge taking on Brady, Malcolm? You've got experience doing that, as I mentioned. What is the challenge taking on Tom Brady?
Yeah, well, whatever you come, you know, you can have a plan against him, right? And even if you come with a great plan, it may only last for a quarter or two. And then you've got to have a counterpunch because he's somebody who's also going to have an answer to whatever you do. And seeing every defense there is, seeing every look can adjust. But I think, you know, when you even look at last night, when you can get to him and you can do a good job of covering, you can get after him. But you got to earn that the right way, and you got to be able to match up and win those matchups on the outside or on the inside and take away those looks. But if you can't get to them and can't affect them, it'll be a long day.
Is there a good story you have in terms of facing him where you thought you had him and he had you, or vice versa? Anything you can
I can remember a game a while ago. I don't know what year it was, but we played up in New England and we were winning late in the game, and I think he had one last-minute drive, and he threw a deep pass on our right side, back in the end zone, scored late. And we felt really good going into, like, late in that game, thinking that we had it under control. But Tom had some other plans.
He had some other plans is a great way to put it, Malcolm. Great way to put it. And before, again, we move on to what you're doing in the community there, let's hit the way back machine to just last week. What was going on with Javon Wims? What happened there on the field?
I have no idea. He lost his mind, to be honest. I've never seen anything like that since I've been playing this game on any level. You know, and I think, you know, a lot of us, when it happened on the field, didn't really know kind of the extent of what all went down. But once you got out of the game and you get on the bus and you start to see, it wasn't even like they were tussling beforehand or anything like that. So, you know, I'm not sure. But I have a lot of respect for a young player like C.J. Gardner who was able to at least keep his composure and finish out that game, because I know even for somebody like myself, that would have been hard to keep composed.
Yeah, he did not really hit back when he got assaulted, is the word for it. And it does appear it was like a mouth guard snatching that Wims was steaming about for literally like 10, 15 minutes. He wasn't on the field. It was like really 10 actual 15 minutes of real time that he was just waiting to get back out on the field, it seems. Malcolm.
Yeah, I mean, and mouth guards are free. You can go to the sideline and get another one.
Yeah, I mean, it was really and poor Gardner Johnson. Everybody's hitting him. Seems like he's in the middle of right.
Nah, trust me, he's a guy that can hold his own.
Okay,
sure. And you know, he's somebody that clearly knows how to get under people's skin.
I could say
he's telling him, do your thing. As long as you don't get a penalty, I'm good.
Okay, all right. So let's talk about what you're doing. Let's talk about the Malcolm Jenkins Foundation and what is Feeding the 504. I'll give you the floor here. What's going on?
Yeah, so Feeding the 504 is an initiative we've been doing now throughout the fall, but it's really a big emphasis because of what's happening with food insecurity, especially down here in the New Orleans area. So Feeding the 504, we partner with Winn-Dixie and Second Harvest Food Bank and Broadmoor Food Pantry. And what we're doing is we're going to feed 504 families per month for the rest of the year, servicing families within the 504 area. So that's New Orleans, because there's 400,000 people who suffer from food insecurity and COVID, and all the hurricanes that we've endured down here has made that even worse. So as we approach the holidays, we know how important it is, you know, for food. Families are making decisions between gifts and putting food on the table. We know the importance of family and kind of the meal of Thanksgiving, the meal of Christmas being kind of that center point. It's a huge, huge emphasis. So we're just asking people to donate $40 to the Malcolm Jenkins Foundation. That $40 feeds 120 children.
Wow.
And as we push, like I said, push towards these holidays, we want to make sure that all of these families have food to eat, and have access to the same things that we all love around the holidays, and that's that family meal.
And it's not just there too, it's your home area of South Jersey, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's just happening all over the country, but the areas that specifically, you know, touch kind of my heart are, I'm from New Jersey, South Jersey, we're doing these things, doing the same initiative, and then here in the 504, so... you know, again, you can go to themalcolmjenkinsfoundation.org to donate. $40 is what we're asking for. You can donate above and beyond that, but that $40 will feed 120 children.
That's amazing. How's your documentary doing? What's going on with your doc?
Oh, it's doing well. Just won an award this past weekend in the Twin Cities Film Festival. So looking to continue to get people to see it. I've been getting a ton of feedback, good feedback from people who've watched it. So Black Boys streaming on Peacock.
Right here.
Encouraging everybody to go ahead and check it out.
Yeah, we're seeing the graphic right here of the page on Peacock. 83% on Rotten Tomatoes is pretty damn good. That's incredible. Yeah. That's great. So for those folks who might not know what it's about, what are they going to get?
So it's a documentary that really explores the humanity of Black boys and really shows us how that humanity is under attack even as early as age school, and not something that's so, you know, overt, like, you know, like in your face racism, but simple things like not being able to see Black educators you know, throughout your time in school. So less than 2% of educators are black men. So that automatically tells your children, without ever having to say anything to them, that black men aren't leaders, that they aren't teachers, that they aren't X, Y, and Z. And so showing kind of how the inequalities in our education system, the things that we see on TV and the way that we approach black boys and black men completely dismisses their minds and their creativity, but objectifies and monetizes their bodies. And we just explore that through the education system and through sports and entertainment.
Well, again, you can watch that right here on Peacock, Feeding the 504 at the MalcolmJenkinsFoundation.org. You can go there for more information. So we've talked about that. We've talked about the Saints. We've talked about is there anything else? I think we've hit it all, right, Chris?
It's been a great interview. I think we're basically out of time.
I know. Piscataway is his hometown, home of Rutgers, which came up with a big win. I don't think there's anything else to talk about with Malcolm, right? Malcolm, you think we've covered everything here?
I mean, you know, unless you want to go into this spat between Ohio State and Michigan, I think we've covered it all.
I don't know what you're referring to, Malcolm. I honestly don't know. I do know. What is it? Justin Fields has 7 incompletions and 6 touchdowns so far this year,
correct,
right?
Correct. Yeah.
He's a real deal, is he not?
Man is on fire.
How did Georgia just let him walk? I know Fromm was good, but
he actually committed to Penn State first and then went back on it, went to Georgia and then left.
He is the real deal, Malcolm. Would you not agree? I'll give you the floor even on that.
I think you said it best. He's the real deal. I'm glad that they're back to it, so you know, we get to watch him display. But yeah, he's definitely playing phenomenal right now. I'm looking forward to seeing him continue that.
Well, good luck against the GOAT from Michigan. Good luck against him.
I appreciate it.
I'm hanging my hat there. And hey, look, you've got your own GOAT too. I guess that's my last question for you as well. Going home again, this in terms of professionally, that's got to be a neat feeling. How's that been so far for you the first half of the year, Malcolm?
Yeah, I mean it's been, you know, I think it started off with, like, pretty nostalgic, but. This is a huge, you know, things are totally different since I was here 6 years ago. Totally different team. The city's changed. Obviously, COVID and kind of all of the protocols just made this a very unique year. So it hadn't quite been, you know, like stepping back into time. But, man, it's a team that has a lot of fun, so much talent, and we have so much opportunity that, you know, I'm definitely happy to be back down here in New Orleans.
Well, I appreciate the time because it sure sounds in the background of this conversation you've got your hands full. Sounds
yes,
like that.
Yes, I do. This day off, I got my babies.
Oh boy, how old are they again?
6 and 2. So my 6-year-old is in school, but the 2-year-old is with me.
Oh, boy, your hands are full. Daddy Daycare here on the Rich Eisen Show. Thanks for the call, Malcolm. Really appreciate it. Always enjoy our chats. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, always, brother.
Right back at you. That's Malcolm Jenkins here on the Rich Eisen Show. Again, you can check out all of the Malcolm Jenkins Foundation initiatives at themalcolmjenkinsfoundation.org. It's interesting that he puts the right there to start it off. Where does he pick that up from? So I don't confuse it with a Malcolm Jenkins?
Right. And Malcolm.
Organization? Okay, there you go. Saints Bucks on Sunday Night Football caps off a very must-see TV NBC weekend, starting with number 1 versus number 4 Clemson against Notre Dame at 7 Eastern Time, leads into an all-new edition of Saturday Night Live. NASCAR gets rolling in a big way with its championship on Sunday. And then you've got Saints and Buccaneers. So on Sunday, basically, NASCAR crowns a champion in Phoenix with coverage beginning at 2. And then Football Night in America coverage begins at 7 Eastern Time leading up to Bucks versus Saints. Something we'll talk about with Rick Stroud coming up in hour number 2. He's from the Tampa Bay Times. He watched last night's game in person. I can't wait to chat with him about all of that. And your phone calls at 844-204-RICH, our poll question, and more here on The Rich Eisen Show on Peacock, Sirius XM, and our terrestrial radio network, the Mightier 1090 in Southern California.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We've got a lot of football on the mind. Brick Stroud, who will tell us the Tampa perspective of the Sunday Nighter, as well as Antonio Brown getting ready to return to action. And also, obviously, the trade deadline is in the offing. Scott Pioli will be joining us. He's on NFL Network now, Scott Pioli.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I'm just walking around the house and I saw the pregame show on NFL Network last night leading to Monday Night Football. Right. I saw Pioli and I'm like, you know what? Getting him on a trade deadline day, certainly on a day after Bill Belichick said that the team sold out for the championships. Tom Curran does not agree with your assessment that Belichick sold out, that there's a lot of cap maneuvering that they should have been able to do.
They do have the lowest payroll in the NFL.
So...
But they have a lot of dead money.
I know. So,
by the way, who cares? Three Super Bowls in the last 5 years. Big deal.
Talk to Pioli about all of that. That's coming up. 442-04 Rich will take your phone calls in a second. We are back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our radio network. Good chat right there with Malcolm Jenkins. What's our poll question over there, Christopher, at Rich Eisen Show? What have you cooked up? Here on this
election
day.
We have the one that we talked about yesterday about it's Dolph Lundgren's birthday today.
Okay.
So thinking best sports movie villain.
Okay.
So
we had Dolph on the show here.
We've had him in here before.
That was great.
Yeah. Because he has what, like a dozen lines? So
well, yeah, we asked him if he could remember all his speaking lines from his Rocky. I can't even say trilogy. It was the fourth one.
Yeah, so. He was only in the fourth one, obviously.
Right. But. So. Drago.
So we can go Drago, Shooter McGavin.
Okay, I like it.
Those are the two obvious ones. And then some other ones, Sacha Baron Cohen's character, Jean Girard from Talladega Nights, super funny. Johnny Lawrence from Karate Kid.
I think Johnny Lawrence from Karate Kid.
Go Ben Stiller from Dodgeball, White Goodman.
Nah, Dodgeball's not a
Bigger and McCracken
sports movie.
In Kingpin.
Karate Kid is a sports movie, by the way.
Karate Kid is a sports movie?
Well, I guess I can't say it's a sports movie if I say Rocky's a love story.
It's more of like a high school, kind
I guess
of
teenage. So. But it is wrapped in a sporting event, I guess.
Bud Kilmer in Varsity Blues is really good. John Voight's character, the coach. Judge Smales in Caddyshack.
Oh my gosh! Are we saying he's a bad? He was a bad man.
He definitely was the villain in that movie.
Okay.
So which ones do you like? Obviously, Drago and Shooter.
Right, and then I think we should have one more real, if you will, sports movie. Right? And then another comedy. Bigger and McCracken should be in there.
Okay.
Bill Murray in Kingpin is a great sports villain.
Can I throw
please
one in here?
TJ?
The prison guard team from The Longest Yard.
Ooh.
The remake or the original?
Well, I just watched the remake about a week ago, and that team is filled with a bunch of guys I like in real life. Like,
right. They're
during
evil.
That movie, they were evil and despicable, and I hated them. So that would be my...
You could do the warden in the original Longest Yard.
Have you seen the original Longest
yeah.
Yard?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's an older movie that you've considered seeing.
Sports thing. My dad was a big Burt Reynolds guy growing up.
Mm.
Did we come up with a fourth guy yet?
I think we've struck out on the fourth one. Maybe somebody's out there screaming at their radio or at their Peacock television.
No,
right
not Johnny Lawrence.
Well, we've already said that karate. I would take him. I mean,
well,
for
then
sure.
Let's just do him.
Okay.
So go Drago, Shooter, Johnny Lawrence, and Big Earn.
How about the owner from Major League, Rachel Phelps? She's pretty nasty, right? The owner.
You stink, right? Remember that was the
owner. The owner from The Natural.
I'm going to write in the prison guard team. That's just mine. I'm just going to write them
in. We may be missing one. 844-204-RICH. Choose. I think you got to go with.
We got to go Johnny Lawrence.
Okay, Johnny Lawrence or 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's go to Jim in Florida. We'll take a phone call here because we're going to have a couple of guests in a row. What's up, Jim?
Hi, Rich.
What's up, Jim? How are you?
Well, you don't even want to know.
Okay.
You don't want to know.
All right.
It's been a rough 2020 for me. I lost my job. I got divorced, and my dad died. So.
Oh, my gosh. That's a horrible triple play. But I appreciate you calling in here. Hopefully, we can have a nice conversation.
Well, I appreciate you being on the air because it helps me as I'm applying for jobs.
Okay.
Anyhow, I've had this brainstorm that, well, I'm thinking that Bill Belichick is going to pull a Ditka next year and give away his whole, maybe two drafts, and get Trevor Lawrence, and then he's going to go upstairs and hand a team down over to Josh McDaniels, and wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Wow. Okay. Now then, I got to take it one at a time. If the Jets have the number one overall pick, it does not matter how many draft choices the Patriots offer the Jets. There has to be a very warm place deep, deep, deep at the center of the earth that freezes over for that to happen. Never. That'll be the last team. Literally, New England could offer everything under the sun. They could even say, we'll trade you, Belichick, to coach the team. And Bill would have to agree to that, and that's, again, something that would have to freeze out. And honestly, if the Jets have the first overall pick, that will never happen. So it would have to be an NFC team that does not want to cough up their quarterback that they currently have and needs to surround that quarterback that they love. But it's an interesting chat about Belichick moving upstairs. I just think the guy loves coaching so much. I just think he just eats it up, and that's what he's loves to do and he's best at. I don't know if he's ready to do that yet, Jim.
Josh turned down an Indy on some kind of promise.
No, I know. At some point, I know. He's sticking around. He's waiting for Bill. He's probably looking at his watch, you know, but right. I just don't think so. And I appreciate the call. And I hope the next 2 months turns 2020 around and 2021's better. And call back, Jim. Please, I hope you call back. You bet. That's Jim calling us here. I just don't see Belichick doing that. Do you have the soundbite of Bill Belichick, please? He was on local radio yesterday talking about the 2-5 start, obviously. And, you know, he is being asked on the Zoom. It's amazing. For a guy that has the reputation that does not want to talk to the media, he talks to the media a lot. He's, like, available every day. Like, I think Tomlin speaks to the media on Tuesdays in Pittsburgh and then not until after game day, and that's it. And that's it. A lot of coaches talk maybe once, twice a week. He's got his own radio show, and he Zooms like once a day, it seems.
Yeah.
And
ask the right questions.
He was talking about, you know, making a trade deadline and deal, and he says it's sometimes like you make a putt or attempting to make a putt, and it rolls out right at the end. It looks like it's going to happen, and it just rolls out right at the end, which was an interesting analogy that he said. And then he made mention about that the team is sold out the last several years to try and get a Super Bowl team going. And it's just one of those things that causes everybody to wonder if this is excuse making or an accurate portrayal of the New England situation. Roll it there, Jason.
Cam Newton, $1 million. I mean, it's obvious we didn't have any money. It's nobody's fault. That's what we did the last 5 years. We sold out and won 3 Super Bowls, played in the fourth, and played in an AFC Championship game. This year we had less to work with. It's not an excuse. It's just the fact.
It's just the fact. Because Brady was making less than most of the elite quarterbacks in the league for so many years and then began to start ramping up, and I think he has a ton of dead money on the cap right now. And
yeah, $13 million just
Gronk retiring as well.
That kind of screwed everything after 2018.
Right, and then there's also all the guys who opted out due to COVID, including Hightower and Chung. Those are two major players.
Yep.
And then you see what Tom E. Curran had to say, and he said he doesn't buy it. That they're paying Joe Tooney a ton of money. They could have done him long term. That there's a bunch of guys that they let walk as opposed to paying, and they don't have anything to show for it. And your response is, are you as a Patriot fan sitting here saying 2-5, you understand this is a way of the world?
Yeah.
That's the way it goes?
It was 20 years of excellence. 9 Super Bowl trips, wow. 6 titles. Like, talk about entitled New England fans complaining that, like, Bill's just stating the facts. They were done. Tom Brady was declared dead. They were on to Cincinnati, and then they won three Super Bowls and went four more times. Like, what do people want?
I understand.
Like, wake up, people.
Well,
like, come on.
That's why when Brady left, I sat here and I looked at you and I said, welcome to the rest of us. Welcome to the rest of us.
And I totally get that.
And then after a while, you were like, okay, when are we going to get somebody instead of Stidham? And they got Cam, and he looked dynamite.
Looked great.
Dynamite. Yeah. And then tested positive for COVID, and it just all fell apart.
It could have easily been 3-0. They had a play to beat Seattle on the one-yard line, and then pretty much ever since that, like you said, Cam got COVID, and it literally hasn't
He says it has not affected his play.
I don't know.
That's what he has said. Speaking of COVID, Ian Rappaport says John Elway's tested positive, and so is Joe Ellis, the team president. Oh, my gosh. They're confident the transmissions originated from outside the building. So, to John Elway and Joe Ellis, the CEO of the Broncos, we send our best. This is just crazy, man.
Crazy.
This is absolutely crazy.
And the Packers have a running back situation because of that as well.
Right, that it
because
appears.
Because of A.J. Dillon testing positive, and then Jamal Williams
has to stay away.
Close contact, so they're basically ruled out.
And Aaron Jones may not go.
Right.
It looks like Tyler Irvin may be your starting running back. 10 career carries for Tyler Irvin, who has a little bit of a famous, I'll say the story on the air. He has a famous, I guess, mentioned within the game day morning text exchange.
Okay.
When we were in London, Jaguars and Texans last year, and Mooch had his board in front of him, getting ready to ask questions of Doug Marrone, who's got a little bit of the Parcells, a lot of Parcells in him. He likes to jab. He likes to needle. Certainly people who he respects, and I guess that's Mooch.
Right.
And so Mooch kept asking him why he was changing the kickoff guy, Tyler Irvin. And Mooch just asked him why, and he basically said, well, we just decided to go in a different direction. You know, he gave that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And Mooch circled back to it again. So, okay, so you're changing out your kickoff guy, right? So Marrone sits there and goes, are you Tyler Irvin's agent? Why do you care about Tyler Irvin? And then he essentially said, the reason why Tyler Irvin's not on kickoff is because he has trouble catching.
Right.
So,
well, he's
are you Tyler Irvin's agent? So the news that just popped of Tyler Irvin basically starting, my phone buzzed during the Malcolm Jenkins interview, and I looked at it during the commercial break, and sure enough, it was Kurt Warner asking Mooch, do you still rep Tyler Irvin?
Fantastic.
He's about to make you some money on TNF because they have no one else to play, it seems.
Yeah, Dexter Williams, too, on his 5 career carries.
Mooch responds, reason I like Tyler Irvin is because he's a San Jose State kid and was on Game Changers. And then he wrote parenthetically, I'm also his agent, LOL. I mean, it was just great. Marrone looked at him and goes, why do you keep asking me about him? Are you his agent? Oh, man, fun stuff that friends just love needling each other for.
Love it.
So, hour number one in the books here on this election day. Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, fresh back from Monday Night Football, and Scott Bioli on trade deadline day, coming up hour two. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.